The Rebel Capitalist Show, episode 298.
Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show.
All right, guys, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome someone back to the Rebel Capitalist Show. He's my good buddy, and he is the co-host of what I think is the best macroeconomics podcast out there. That would be Macro Voices. His name is Patrick Ceresna. Patrick, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me back, George.
All right. Now, I am a long-term investor. I like buying stuff and like holding it forever. Most people know that, but I do think there's value in understanding trading. It's more short-term. But then even if you are a long-term investor, I think there's an edge if you understand options. So you can kind of work around your position and get more of a return over the long run if you know what you're doing. So that's why I invited you on today to talk about not only options, but talk about something that's on everyone's mind, and that is gold. We know gold should be skyrocketing right now because of inflation. It hasn't been. And I know you were telling me before we started recording that you've taken some positions that weren't going in your favor, but through options, you went ahead and did some trades that kind of hedged your downside a little bit. So
exactly.
I want to start off by telling us kind of what you did, or maybe start off by telling us how you wisely picked the absolute bottom of the gold market with our good friend Ronnie Stoferle.
Oh, I was out in Vienna just a couple of weeks ago, and it was on September 30th where I was having lunch with our good friend Ronnie, and it was literally marked the bottom of the gold and silver turn. And so Ronnie was joking that we'll call it the Stoferle Ceresna bottom if it ends up being the key turn point in gold. But so what I wanted to do, George, was just start off by just putting some context of where we are in the gold and silver cycle and where we stand and what is the potential in this. I know there's a lot of people frustrated because in the end, when you look at what most alternative asset investors own, they own either crypto, they own coal or energy or uranium stocks or natural gas stocks. There's all these different things. All of these things are working except for gold. And gold seems to be thing, and everyone thinks it's broken in that, but I just believe it's the normal cycle. And when the cycle turns back up here, it's when we get a nice upturn, suddenly everyone's going to be back in business on this. So let's kind of put some of these concepts into perspective. The first thing I want to highlight is that I love this statement. I actually originally heard it from our good friend Rick Rule. And he basically said that the bear market is the author of a bull market, and a bull market is the author of a bear market. And this is no more true than in commodity cycles. And the key to why I remain very bullish on gold, and we heard it from Russell Napier when we had him on Macro Voices just the other week.
That was a really, really interesting interview. I talked about that on my Rebel Capitalist channel.
Yeah.
For those people who haven't listen to that episode, you have to do it as soon as we get done here, because
a little bit of
the ESG component with gold mining.
Exactly. And he a little bit poor audio quality, but that transcript's there. So if you're having issues with that, the transcript is a must read. And he talks about one of the key themes behind gold, and that's the fact that we're in a period of financial repression and negative real yields is a reality still moving forward. So while inflation is running hot, The central banks and governments are suppressing interest rates to levels that are much lower, creating big negative real yields. Right. And that is actually an environment where gold typically does very well. And even though gold in the last few months has been in the gutter, gold, when we just look at a correlation chart like this, it correlates incredibly well with negative real yields. And what I want to highlight is that when we just, let's say, put gold against a 10-year tip yield, you can see generally how gold has that correlation. And even if it's been divergent for the last few months, there's no reason to believe that gold won't continue to keep this correlation moving forward. And so at this moment, with us having gone through the correction we have seen, there's a lot of reasons to still view that when and gold does finally turn up, there's an extraordinary opportunity. And so one of the things that I ask is, can gold rally during a period of rising inflation? And the answer to that is, of course, yes. And no better example of that is in 1979, when you can see that once inflation started to really run away on the upside, gold acted very well as a safe haven and actually did incredibly well in preserving one's purchasing value during that high period of inflation. And so while there's these short periods of time where gold seems to be misbehaving and not following suit, there are some big long-term fundamental reasons why gold should be an important asset within your portfolio mix, especially this high inflation period that we are. Even whether we debate whether it's transitory or whether it's secular, inflation is here, and it's a part of the way investors need to continue to position themselves moving forward. What I find particularly fascinating, though, here, George, is that we are at a very negative sentiment toward gold at this moment.
Yeah, this is what I like. This is like, now we're getting into my wheelhouse.
Yeah, right now there's a lot of very disappointed gold investors. Like you're saying, most people today that are in these alternative assets own some uranium, you own gold, you own Bitcoin, you own all of these different types of assets, and all of them are working except gold. And you see like this red blotch in your portfolio while the other stuff's all green, and it's causing a lot of people to have a negative sentiment. Another good example of this is looking at the gold miner bullish percentage index, and this shows simply the amount of gold miners that are trending bullishly or bearishly based on point figure charts. And what you can look at is over the 5-year period, every time gold miners have gotten to this negative sentiment from a bullish percentage index, it has often been a buying opportunity. And and there's a cyclicality to gold that works in the, and I've talked about it at your Rebel Capitalist show, and we'll talk about it moving forward. But I want to highlight this.
Yeah, that reminded me of the inverted yield curve.
Yeah. Exactly. And what I wanted to highlight here was just the psychological path that the cyclicality of securities has, which is when things are going up, like imagine when Bitcoin and uranium were going up, there's optimism, excitement, thrill, euphoria, everything's making money, everything feels great. Then when you're going through the downtrend, you have denial, fear, panic, capitulation, you get depression, like it's like you're disappointed there. And as investors, we go through these emotional cycles. And point of maximum financial opportunity is to buy when everyone else is depressed or not paying attention or simply not interested in a security. Think of when buying coal miners or uranium stocks a year or two ago, when nobody wanted to touch them and they were literally selling 10 cents on the dollar. Today, now everyone wants to own them.
I bought them back in March of 2020. I remember.
Fantastic. Yeah. And now everyone wants to own a hand over fist 10 times higher than when they were trading there. But if you were buying those securities at the point where no one was interested, that point of emotional capitulation, that's when you get the best price. That's where your biggest asymmetry exists. And I believe gold is still trading in this very cycle. And we just happen to be at a different stage of this emotional opportunity cycle in gold versus the other alternative assets we talk about. Now, when I was at your Rebel Capitalist show, we talked about these cycles and gold miners. And what I did here, and I'm not going to spend too much time because we've already presented this before.
I think you're talking about Rebel Capitalist Live just for the viewers. Yes. But what I like here, Patrick, is because I look at gold as just an insurance policy. So I don't really care if it goes up or down, but on the other hand, I like to allocate 10% of my portfolio to speculative asset classes. And I think gold miners are a perfect fit for that. So yes. When I hear you talking about gold, you know, I'm just hearing gold miners, gold miners, gold miners. And that's where I think personally there's a huge opportunity.
Oh, there is. And I'm so excited to show you some of the option strategies that I'm using to leverage and repair some of the gold miner trades. What I wanted to just highlight is that I've presented this before, that the gold miners, when measured by, I was taking bull and bear cycles that have to at least be 2 months in length and a percentage move in the market of greater than 20%, either down or up to count a cycle. And when we overlay the different gold miner cycles that have happened, what you find that since its inception of the creation of the ETF back in 2006, there were 9 of those cycles. The average length of the up cycles have been 11 months during, and the average duration of the cycle down was 8.8 months. And look at the magnitude of the average rise and the average fall. Wow. During this period, like literally the gold miners get halved during a down cycle and they double when they go through an up cycle. And this happens over and over again. And when you're at the bottom of one of these cycles down 40%, you go back to this depression thing, you're depressed, you're upset, you're capitulating, you're not interested in what's happening. But ultimately, what ends up happening is that the next major opportunity on the upside almost invariably happens, and this amazing opportunity to make money comes on the other side of these cycles. And so what I want to do is talk about options. Now, I've done at your Rebel Capitalist Live the presentation of using long-dated leap options as a way of trading these cycles, but I want to today give something new. Something we've already talked about in the past. What I want to talk about is two circumstances. Number one is that how do you repair a gold mining position that you have that is now losing money? So some people may have really loved the gold trade and got in 6 months ago and now find themselves in a situation where they're down on their existing gold mining position. How do you repair it? And then the second thing I want to cover is if we are in fact at one of these turns, how do I put on an asymmetric trade to leverage the upside while not exposing myself to that same leverage downside risk? Right. And so I want to show some really exciting strategies. Clear,
these are things that you've done in your own portfolio lately, Patrick?
In fact, the two trades that I'm literally going to show are live trades that I have on with my real money that I actually screenshotted from just an hour ago. Okay. So we're talking about the literally trades that we put on. And I want to talk about this opportunity and how to put this on. So let's, George, let's take a moment and just give everyone a quick primer on how options work. Just because in order to understand this, we need everyone to be somewhat on the same page. So let's just quickly, I don't want to waste a lot of time on this, but let's just give everyone this primer of an option is a contract between two counterparties, a buyer and a seller. And the buyer of an option, whether it's a call option or a put option, is paying money out of their pocket to secure a right to buy or sell the security at a specific price over a specific period of time in the future. And so I always like to use that example where me and you are making a deal and you, let's say, own shares of a gold miner. I want those shares. We can enter a contract and say, we agree that I have the right to buy those shares from you at an XYZ price, whatever dollar price we assign to it at some point in the future, but I must pay you money for that right. You're not going to agree to do this with me unless I'm offering you some sort of compensation for as income for you doing this. So the seller of that option is paid the income for the undertaking that obligation to buy or sell to that buyer. And so what we're going to, in this example, just talk about the relationship of an option, particularly the call option, the right to buy an underlying security. And so when we're talking delta, which is the rate of which the option is trading in correlation with the stock. Something that has a delta of zero means that it's uncorrelated to the security, while delta one means that it's behaving identical to the security. And so an option goes through this convex path of, and this is where the asymmetry comes into an option, or the convexity of it comes in, which is that as you become right about an security and it starts going up, the call option starts behaving like the stock. And this is the key, is that so you can use the option to secure the purchase of an underlying security. But at the same time, when you own a stock, and let's say that stock drops 50% in its value, you are down when you own the stock. You are literally down half of your money. Like, you are participating on the downside at a delta one, dollar for dollar. For every dollar it goes down, you lose a dollar. But with an option, your risk is always limited or defined by the cost of the option. And so you can't possibly lose more than what you outlaid for the contract. Right. And this means that you can define easily your downside risk while having all of the upside potential if you're right about the security. And this is done at a cost. An option isn't for free. You pay for your the ability to do this. So what happens is that the option is moving at this rate of delta. So now I think that's enough for what we want to do. I think the most important takeaway that I want all of our listeners that are listening to this to understand is the more right we get on a security, the more the option behaves like the stock, and more money we make on the upside. While when we're wrong about the security, our risk is defined and the rate of loss is perpetually slowing the more wrong we get. And so there's this beautiful asymmetry that we're buying with an option. And this is so important when taking into consideration volatile securities like resource stocks, whether we're talking uranium stocks, energy stocks, whether we're talking basic material stocks, coal stocks, it doesn't matter. And including gold miners, they're very cyclical. These stocks will double in their value or get halved very easily. The volatility is extraordinary. And using options as a way to manage this volatility is such a powerful tool, George. It's just so important for people to learn how these options work. It doesn't mean you'll always use them, but if you don't educate yourself on understanding how to execute trades with options, you're cutting yourself short, because an investor only has two choices: buy or sell. You can either buy the stock or sell it. That's the only two choices you have. But once you get the options toolbox into your investing strategy, you can generate income off your investments. You can buy protection on your investments. You can leverage the gains on the upside. There's so many amazing things you can do beyond being restricted to just buying or selling, which is the only thing a traditional investor can do.
Right.
So I want to share with you a trade that has gone terribly wrong for me and how I fixed it. All right. So I'm almost sure that any of your listeners that are and follow gold miners are in this situation today, right? Because almost all gold miners are down over the last 6 months, and many people may find themselves in a situation where they're down. And so what I want to talk about is back in the summer, back in July 2021, just a few months ago, I was bullish gold miners. And so I was focusing particularly on wheat and precious metals. I really loved the company. I thought it was a great opportunity. And so I went and purchased $90,000 or 2,000 shares of wheat and precious metals at $44.82. And so just to kind of show where it was on the chart back in July, it was trading right around this level. I looked at it as a Fibonacci retracement. I thought it was actually breaking out of a wedging formation, and I thought it was going to bullishly start to advance.
You bought it right there where it gapped down?
No, literally that last green candle.
Oh, right.
That little red line, which is aligned with the green arrow, it's about $44.82 on this chart where I bought it. So I didn't buy it at the bottom. I bought it as it was turning back up. I was early. Now, it followed through for a few days. But here we are and at the end of September when I was having lunch with Ronnie Stofferly down out in Vienna, Wheaton Precious Metals was trading at $37 a share. I was down $7.82 per share, or roughly $15,000 on this position. More importantly, Wheaton Precious Metals from its late August high in just 1 month dropped 20% in 30 days, just went straight down day after day. It was like you might as well grab a bucket and puke, right? Like it was like it's not a great feeling seeing a stock that you're bullish and holding go through this type of a decline. Yeah. But at the time, I looked at it and said, it's approaching a major support line. It's 52-week low. Its low of the year lied down around $35 a share. And here we were
going back to March of 2021.
Exactly. Right. That entire blue zone down there.
Right.
That was the lowest Wheaton Precious traded in the 2021 year. And I'm thinking, it's got to at least bounce off of this level. Maybe I forget about a new uptrend or anything like that. I just think that this was a tactical place. Now, the most common strategy is to dollar cost average. Well, if I bought some at 45 and now it's down at 37, I think it's a bottom, then I'm going to buy the shares, bring my average cost base down to half of the amount because I doubled my position. And I can now repair my position through a traditional dollar cost averaging, right? And that's something I'm sure you and many of your listeners would commonly consider doing. Now, I did something very similar to it synthetically, and I want to go through the thought exercise of what I did and how I repaired this position. And so what I did was the first thing I did. So just know what was the lowest it traded. It traded at $35, right? Even though the stock's trading at 37 at this moment, the lowest it traded was 35. And so what I did was I sold $35 strike put options for a dollar income out to November. And I basically collected a dollar income. I said, if there was the price level that I'm going to dollar cost average at, it's going to be at the $35 mark. If they're going to force me to buy the shares and I'm going to dollar cost average my 2000 share position, I'm going to do it at $35 exactly. And for this, I'm going to earn a dollar income. So I snagged over $2,000 income in selling that put option, obligating me to buy an additional 2,000 shares of Wheaton Precious Metals at $35. Right. Now, what I did secondly then was I used the proceeds and some of my extra cash to buy 20 $37 strike call options, which were trading at $1.95. Now, so let's talk about what a call option does. It's the right to buy the underlying security at $37. And for that, I'm paying $1.95 a share, where I paid $3,900 to buy these call options. This has secured me a guaranteed purchase price of $37 a share down there. So I have said either I'm going to get stuck owning it down at 35, or I've guaranteed myself $37, no worse than $37 entry. And net, it cost me under $2,000 net because I only made $2,000 income and paid $3,900. So what ended up happening in the last 2 weeks is Wheaton Precious Metals came off that $37 low and now has snapped back to $41. Right. So my original purchase was up at near $45. Today it's at $41.33 at the time we're recording. So I want to show you what now my position looks like. At one point, that was 2,000 shares of Wheaton Precious Metals was down $15,000. But I bought those November $37 calls and sold those $35 strike puts as my repair strategy. And today, once just that we had this little snapback rally to $41, I find myself now actually at break even on my wheat and precious position. I'm up basically $7,000 on my options that I'm down $7,000 on the stock, and I've already reached my point of break even. Now I'm already, once I take profits on these options, I now am back to making money on wheat and precious. So I went through this devastating market drop. I repaired it along the previous low. And here I am just after a 4-day little snapback rally, I'm already in a position to make money on the upside of wheat and precious.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. And so now this is just one way of repairing it. There's a second way of repairing the option strategy through the application of a debit spread and through using a covered call approach to repairing a trade. And it's one of the ones that I'm excited to share with you and your listeners. It's one of the many ways to fix positions. Now, I, in this particular case, am focused with you on gold and gold miners, but these option strategies can be used to repair almost any stock position that has a liquid options chain on it.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
I'm thinking about it as a way to scale out of my oil position, because I always say on my channel that just going back inflation adjusted chart, if you look at oil, it kind of gets cheap under $30 a barrel.
Yeah.
It kind of starts to get expensive under 80.
So yeah.
I bought a ton of it when it was back 2025 in March 2020.
Yeah.
And then now that it's over 80, I need to start thinking about if I'm going to obey my own rules, then, you know, which is just buy things when they're cheap and sell them when they're expensive. I need to start thinking about scaling out. I was thinking about selling calls to do so.
You could do that. One of my favorite strategies to do in that circumstance is, as you profit take your underlying equities, you replace them with bull call spreads to continue to participate on further upside. One of the biggest things that happens is that sometimes these bull runs last longer and go farther, and you suffer serious FOMO when you pull out of the trade too early and then watch your position keep going up after you've sold it.
I think that we're in a super cycle in commodities, including oil. But I'm just trying to stick to my rules. I'm just trying to make it like blackjack. You know how I do that.
Exactly. But you know what? As you sell your equity, if you replace it with a bull call spread, you continue to participate on the upside if it continues to rip. But yet you've now cut the equity, your amount of capital at risk down to a fraction of that, and you've locked in your guaranteed gains. It's such an amazing way to approach it. Definitely something we can even look at when we do a webinar together. So the next thing I wanted to touch on, though, is how I was leveraging the upside on some of these gold miners with a brand new position on Equinox Gold. And this is a live position I have in my portfolio. And I want to talk about how I made it asymmetric in my favor. And so in this situation, I wanted to talk about Equinox Gold. EQX both trades on both the Canadian and American exchanges. And I was bullish after seeing a technical basing formation after that big sell-off. And I was looking at how can I create an asymmetric trade where I'm getting about $50,000 of upside potential on Equinox, but at the same time managing my downside risk. And so I created a really neat option combination in my portfolio, and I want to share it with you and the listeners. And so this was where I took the trade. Equinox Gold was trading around $7.20 a share after spending the entire summer basing. Many of the gold miners were making lower lows, but Equinox was establishing a base. And even though it was selling off for over a year, we saw a lot of the technical things that I look for on a stock that is bottoming and basing and creating a tradable bottom that is worth speculating on. And there's no guarantee any one trade will work, but there are unique periods where you want to make sure you have skin in the game and put that on. So now I want you to really remember that $7.20 level, because it's important to put as a reference point for our next slide.
Okay.
So what I chose to do with Equinox is do a put call combination. Now, typically when you do an equal amount of puts and calls, short puts and long calls, it's a risk reversal long equity position. What I chose to do is ratio it slightly in the money. And therefore, what you can observe is I own twice as many call options as I have short puts. I have 60 call options on the upside. So that gives me the right to buy 6,000 shares of Equinox Gold at $7.50, which is a $45,000 position in Equinox, which is roughly what I wanted exposure to the upside on the stock.
Okay.
Now, I only sold 30 put options on Equinox at 7.5, which is an obligation to, if it's assigned to me, to buy 3,000 shares of Equinox at 7.5 or only $22,000 of stock. Now, because Equinox at the time was 30 cents in the money, which is that, remember, it was set $7.20. I have agreed to have someone be willing to sell it to me at 7.5. In other words, I am agreeing to buy it 30 cents higher. More importantly, my upside on Equinox doesn't kick in till it's north of $7.50. So I have put my kind of pivot on Equinox 30 cents higher than where the stock was trading at 7.5. In doing so, I was able to buy those call options at 35 cents a share and sell the puts for 70 cents a share because they were in the money. I was able to literally do this trade at a zero cost. In other words, I paid $2,000 for the calls, but yet earned $2,000 income for the puts.
You're right.
So literally at this moment, it is a zero cost options trade that needed $10,000 margin to carry, roughly.
What is that? Can you just explain that real quick? Under 10 grand margin to carry?
So you are naked the put. I have undertaken the obligation to own 3,000 shares of Equinox at $7.50 a share.
Right, right.
So the brokerage is requiring me to set aside a certain amount of capital.
Right, got it.
Because I might have the stock assigned to me. And so for me to carry those 30 contracts or 33,000 share obligation of puts, they had me set aside that near $10,000 margin in order to maintain those puts. Okay. So think about this. I'm only allocating $10,000 of margin on the side, and I have bought a position that has given me $45,000 upside of potential equity upside on Equinox And only undertaking obligation on 3,000 shares. So what we have created is a scenario where our pivot is the $7.50 strike, which is just about 30 cents higher than where the stock is trading. So what I want to do is go through a scenario to explain what I've created. So remember, if we just bought call options, we would create the convexity of that blue curve, which is the stock is trading at the orange line delta, a 45 degree angle of if it goes up a dollar, I make a dollar. If it goes down a dollar, I lose a dollar, right? Like that's your relationship of the stock. The blue is the convexity that comes in the optionality of you having a call option. Rather than having that convexity and pay for it, what I created was a trade that looks like this, which is I have all of the downside risk of owning 3,000 shares of Equinox at $7.50. So dollar for dollar, I have taken all equity risk on the downside of owning Equinox at $7.50. But if I'm right, I'm making the upside potential of Equinox on 6,000 shares. Right. And therefore, I've leveraged my gains on the upside. And remember, this option strategy cost me zero to open. And so I'm going to demonstrate this in the simulator, but I want to show you where the position is right trading right now. So Equinox at the time right now as we're trading or speaking is trading at $7.83 a share. So it's now actually moved in my favor. And I find myself in a situation where I'm already up close to $3,000 on this position and continue to have the further upside of this. But what I want to do is demonstrate to you and your listeners the convexity or the leverage that I bought through putting it in a simulator. So at Big Picture Trading in our membership, we have this position simulator that I've used with you in the past. And what I want to do is compare the performance result of position number one. So investor one, let's just pretend it's me and you. I'm position number two, you're position number one. So George, you're going to be the skeptic and you're going to say, look, all this fancy options stuff, I'm just going to buy the shares at $7.20. So you go out here and you're going to go and buy 3,000 shares of the stock and you don't want to use options. You're just going to use the stock position to get your exposure to Equinox.
I'm position one.
You're position one. Okay. Now I'm position two. I've created a scenario where I have 60 call options on the upside at the $7.50 strike and 30 put options at that $7.50 strike to November. So when I calculate this out here, what we have is a scenario where it cost me $0 to have my position open, and I needed $10,000 of margin to carry my position. Now, what I want to observe here is that you outlaid $21,600 cash to buy your 3,000 shares of Equinox, right? You're just a stock owner at $7.20,
right?
You have, from a delta dollar perspective on that 45 degree angle of that delta curve, a pure $21,600 exposure to Equinox through the share ownership. I, on the other hand, have created a position that has given me $30,000 of starting delta dollar exposure, even though it's cost me pretty much zero to open the trade, and I'm able to carry this position with only $10,000 margin. Now, what I want to do is go through the scenarios. Let me just put the risk graph on. I want to show you the scenarios of, let's first of all show where is the downside to my strategy. So let's go through the one scenario of the nothing happens for the next 1 month, and the stock is exactly at $7.20 a share on November 19th at the expiry. So I'm going to take this expiry bar and I'm going to go to zero. And what you can observe is that because I have my break even at $7.50 a share, and you have your break even at $7.20 a share, that 30 cents difference between 750 and 720 is my risk. I am down on 3,000 shares, 30 cents, or roughly $900. That's roughly my risk. That is where the biggest risk to me in carrying my option strategy is compared to you. Now, let's go through that, taking that $900 difference. Let's go through the scenario that we were early and Equinox proceeds to crash down to $5 a share. Okay. So now if this Equinox goes down to $5 a share, you're down $6,600 on your stock position because it went from $7.20 down to $5. You're down $2.20 a share. But I'm down $2.50 a share because my break even is $7.50, not $7.20 like you. So I'm down on 3,000 shares, $7,500. Right? So I'm literally losing dollar for dollar, almost the same as you. It's just my break-even price is 30 cents higher than you.
You're right.
Right? But watch what happens when we're right. What happens if that Equinox rallies to $10 a share? You're up 8,000, but I'm up 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're creating asymmetry.
I'm creating asymmetry where I'm pretty much, even though my break-even point is that $7.50 level,
yeah,
I've created a scenario where it costs me almost nothing to have the trade on. It's cost me only 10,000 margin to be in the position. But if Equinox goes ripping higher, I make way more than you as an equity investor. But yet on the way down, I'm only losing about the same as you. I just have a little bit of a higher break-even point. So I've created an options trade that has allowed me to leverage the upside potential. If I'm right, I'm going to make a shitload of money. And if I'm wrong, I'm only risking about the same amount that someone who owned the shares was risking anyway. I just have a little bit of a higher break even.
Yeah. So this is probably a basic question, but why would this be better than just buying calls?
Well, the calls will have the negative carry of time decay. Remember, it cost me zero to open this trade.
Right.
Buying the call options might have cost you in this scenario. Buying those call options would have cost you, let's say, $2,000 or $3,000. And so in this case, $2,000. And so now if you're actually risking more capital, if let's say the stock rallied to $7.50 and was trading there in my trade. So let me give you let's do that comparison. So let's go back over here and say, if you rather, instead of buying the stock, just bought those, let's say 60 call options outright. Okay. If we created a scenario what did I do wrong here? At the $7.50 strike, there we go. Okay, so we create a scenario. It cost me zero to open this trade. You went and put out, let's say, $1,700.
Right.
Right. Now, if the if at expiration, the stock's trading at $7.50, I am flat. You lost $1,700, right? By me actually creating this combination, I've actually created a stock synthetic, and I've actually don't have the negative theta burn carry of being long a call option. I've just created a leveraged stock position. Right. Synthetically. And so it's one of the amazing strategies that you can do in there. The point I really want to capture here, George, is that those people that don't educate themselves on options don't even know they could do this stuff. Right? Like, I'm not saying you have to do it or it's better, but the thing is knowing that this is even a choice for you to be able to implement these types of strategies is an amazing resource as a trader, as an investor. There are unique situations that will arise when a stock is doing something and you need to know what choices you have to fix your position, to leverage the opportunity to do anything. And just being a stock only investor is just one of the ways to take advantage of it. And using options gives you so many alternative ways of leveraging it.
Yeah. You know what I like about it the most, above and beyond what you're saying, is that even if you didn't make any money with options, it's like blackjack in the sense that it trains your brain to think in terms of probabilities.
Yes.
Which I think will make your investing, even if you're a long-term buy and hold value investor, it'll make that better. And I would argue that even if you're an entrepreneur, it would make your business better. I attribute my business success or a large percentage of my business success to actually learning how to count cards way back in 2000. And so obviously I like it for the opportunity to hedge and maybe, you know, use leverage and to have more of a mathematical probability of making money over the long term.
Yeah.
But I also like it just to educate yourself and train your mind to think properly when it comes to all investing or trading or options or stocks or bonds or currency or, you know, commodities.
What's also amazing is because options are actually priced based on implied volatilities, which is determined of the probability distribution curves and all of these different things, you actually can see what the probability of your trade is. So you can basically say, what if one of your listeners has a bold forecast and they say, I believe by the end of next year that gold will be $2,500 an ounce. Right. And that's what you believe gold will be at. You can go into the options market and actually see what probability the dealers and them are actually pricing that you're going to be right. It doesn't, you could be right or wrong, but you can actually see what mathematical probability the market is actually assigning to your forecast. If the market is saying you've only got a 5% chance of being right, well, you should at least at that moment discount that in your brain that maybe I might be wrong. And what would it look like if I was wrong, or what if it only goes halfway and it's only at 2,000? What is that probability? You can get all of this. Now, one of the things that I want to just leave all you and your listeners with is one of the really cool things about gold, and that is the option skew. And when you're looking at option skews in the normal stock market, like the S&P 500, it has a very distinct fat left tail, and right tail risk is very, very cheap on the stock market. Left tail, which is, it's that old adage in the stock market of the market goes up on an escalator and goes down on an elevator. It's the idea that the markets tend to crash when they go down, but they tend to kind of rise in a methodical process. And therefore, the option skew prices that in, which is there's always got to be left tail risk being priced into the stock market of a crash. But at the same time, there really isn't much of a risk of the stock market crashing higher. And so the price is high. But what's amazing about the gold market is it actually prices a fat right tail skew, which is that they actually, in the options market, is always pricing the chance that gold may go crashing higher or ripping higher or melting higher, whatever you want to reference it as. This creates an opportunity to create amazing upside skewed option combination trades to give yourself amazing asymmetry. You could everything from doing things like gold collars around your bullion can be done beautifully asymmetrically, which is you could sell covered calls 10% out of the money and use the proceeds to finance and completely pay off puts that are like 5% below the strike. You can create like asymmetric trades that are zero cost. You can open amazing bull call spreads on leap positions that can be opened incredibly cheap and yet give you a huge upside on silver and gold. All sorts of amazing trades that can be done that are uniquely available to the gold market that are not actually able to easily be done in the stock market because the skew doesn't exist that way in the traditional market. And these are all sorts of amazing things that I want to just spend a webinar talking about with you and whichever listeners choose to join us.
We do these things periodically and they're always really popular. Yeah. So if you guys I guess we'll put the link for this in the description below.
Exactly. Okay. We're going to put the link in. Anyone can register. Very similar to the way we've done it in the past. It's a 2-hour intense webinar where both me and you get together and we're going to go and we're going to cover three core strategies. One, how to repair the gold trades that you're currently down on. Two, if you believe the upside is just starting in gold, how to create asymmetric leveraged upside trades on the market. And three, how to hedge gold in an asymmetric way to take advantage of this skew. We're going to cover all three of those things in this webinar. It's going to be great. And a part of that comes a two-week access to Big Picture Trading, our membership, our alerts, our analysis. Everything is included in that webinar. It's going to be a great time. We always have a great time together doing it, right?
Yeah. I remember the first time we did it, our intro music was Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses.
We're gonna do it again, bud. We're gonna do it again.
Okay, cool. Well, Patrick, I appreciate the lesson. That really, every time I talk to you, it really expands my mind. I learn a lot, and I learn things that I didn't know were possible, or expand my opportunities, my horizons, I think is a good way to say it.
Yeah. And there's so many amazing things. The biggest problem with options is that everyone stereotypes them as risky because most people engage in options in buying out of the money, low probability upside gamma bets on a big speculative payoff.
Yeah, they're buying calls on Shibu Inu.
Exactly. or leveraging the upside on your AMCs and your GameStops and stuff like that. And they're trying to gamma slam the upside on these things, and these options expire and they lose a bunch of money. And they say, oh, look, see, options are risky. But options can equally be used to hedge and protect your investments and portfolios, allow you to gain leveraged upside to really make sure that you get a good payoff for your highest conviction ideas. And and you can use it to generate income conservatively. There's so many amazing things, and people just miss out on all these amazing things because they hear one person lost money because they were gambling. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were using the options as a gambling tool, and they lose a bunch of money. And they therefore think that therefore every option strategy out there is somehow the same, and it's not. And those people that take the time to educate themselves just have an amazing new resource available to them. Whether obviously today we used it as an investment theme on gold, but this can be used on uranium. It could be used on all the energy plays, like we were talking about earlier. How do you lock in the existing energy advance and make sure that you continue to have upside, but yet not give back the profits you've made? There's all these amazing things you could do with options.
Yeah. Another thing I want to learn is how to build a position in something that I have on my watch list, but hasn't got to a point or a price where I would consider it cheap. And I think that's pretty much the opposite of me scaling out of that oil position.
Yeah.
That's something I'd love to go over on Monday as well.
Absolutely. We'll get it all in there, bud. Yeah.
All right, man. We'll see you next Monday.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, everyone.
Hi, guys. I'd like to invite each and every one of you to the next Rebel Capitalist Live event. If you are a fan of the Rebel Capitalist show, I guarantee you will love the live event. The next one is Houston, where you can meet and listen to speakers, all your favorites from the Rebel Capitalist show. People such as Dr. Ron Paul, Chris Cole, Lynn Alden, just to name a few. If you want to check out the rest of the speaker list and find out how you can attend, we'll put a link in the description below, or you can just go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. This is an event where you can learn to build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. But it's not just about building wealth. It's about increasing your freedom and networking with like-minded individuals, fellow rebel capitalists. It's an amazing event. I know you'll absolutely love it. Check out rebelcapitalistlive.com, and I will see you in Houston.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.